Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to share a free resource just for you. It's called 5 Ways to Connect with God. In our busy world, it's easy to feel spiritually dry, but this short guide introduces 5 timeless practices like one-phrase prayers, cultivating thankfulness, and meditating slowly on scripture. They can refresh your soul and draw you closer to God. You can download your free copy today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now, let's get into today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
Well, I am absolutely delighted today to be joined by Dr. Lillian Linden, who has a degree in philosophy of religion and wrote her master's thesis on Lewis's view of miracles. The title of her PhD was C.S. Lewis and Idealism. Lillian is the director of the Swedish part of IFES Finland and has imported the Veritas Forum concept to Finland. We'll be talking about Lillian's work on C.S. Lewis, as well as sharing a paper that she presented at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Lillian's paper there was "Did Lewis Credit Barfield for What He Learned from Steiner?" Lillian, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's very exciting. We've had people from all over the world, and you're coming to us today from Finland, which is very exciting. Now, Lillian, before we dive into some of Lewis's thoughts on these complicated philosophical concepts, would you just share how you first came across C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, so the first book I read was The Screwtape Letters. And I got that as a gift when I was helping out at a confirmation camp that we have in the Lutheran church here in Finland. And I thought that was so good. So I decided I will read more books by C.S. Lewis. And it ended up with me getting all the books I could find by C.S. Lewis and getting really hooked on him. So when I then started studying theology, I decided to write my master's thesis about him. I was then very interested in his concept of heaven, and I would have liked to write about heaven, but my professor said, I think miracles is a better theme. So that's where I went at that point.
Brilliant. Lillian, do they have C.S. Lewis? This might be a very silly question, but has it been translated into Finnish, or were you reading those works in English?
At first, I read them in Swedish, I have to say, because I belong to the Swedish-speaking minority here in Finland. But I'm sure every book is translated also to Finnish and to Swedish. So that's how I started. But when I got more, like when I started writing my master's thesis, then I also started getting the books in English. So now I have all his books in English.
Yeah. Wow. Brilliant. This might be a difficult question to answer, but do you feel like there are any ways that C.S. Lewis has impacted your life or your faith journey at all?
Yes, in many ways, but one particular way was while I was studying theology, because the university in Helsinki in Finland is very liberal, like it's not a faith seminar or like this. So what you learn there is to pick apart the Bible, and like miracles are not taken seriously and so on. So one, the essay Fernseed and Elephants by C.S. Lewis became really important to me when he's showing kind of that you can read the Bible for what it is, like just read the text, what it says. You don't need to read between the lines or kind of skip things. You can just read it as it is. So that was very, he saved my faith. That's what I said at that point. So he became very important to me.
We're actually speaking to Dr. Paul Anderson, who was also at the conference with you, Lillian, who did his whole presentation on that essay. So that's very exciting. So if anyone else wants to know more about that on fern seeds and elephants, then do check out Dr. Paul Anderson's talk on that topic. Lillian, do you have a favourite book or a favourite quotation or a favourite work of C.S. Lewis, or is it too difficult to pick one?
I guess I have many. Because of my interest in heaven, I really liked The Great Divorce. Like, that was my favourite book for a long time. And I think Lewis has such an interesting view on heaven that it kind of develops, or that you can walk into it and things happen on the way and so on. And this picture that hell is just a small, small part in a crevice down somewhere. It's, while heaven is the real thing, so to speak. So yeah, that was an important book for me at some point. And then I really like A Grief Observed, where he goes through his marriage with his wife, Joy Davidman, when she had died, and tells all about his sorrows at that point. Now, I didn't read the Narnia series when I was a child, but now I have a 10-year-old daughter and I read them for her. So now they have also become important to me. So we have our favorites. We just read The Silver Chair. That's her favorite. And mine is maybe The Horse and His Boy. So these are some of my favorites.
Lillian, you may have already answered this with talking about On Fernseed and Elephants, but do you feel like reading C.S. Lewis has changed your perspective on a particular issue?
Yeah, I don't know, changed perspective, but I remember from another book, Mere Christianity, I think it is, where Lewis describes like the Trinity of God as a cube. That was really a new picture for me when I first read it. And just that there are three sides or three dimensions, but one cube, that they belong together. So that was a picture that has stuck with me since then. But also I have to add that in the Screwtape Letters, he also gives this picture that God is three persons. And that is, of course, more important, since that is the biblical picture of God. But also these kind of secular pictures can help you to get the idea, what could be meant by God being triune.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
Have you ever wrestled with tough questions about faith? Or maybe you've had a friend who's skeptical about Christianity? That's exactly why we want to send you a powerful resource that I believe needs to be in the hands of every believer. Justin Brierley's book, Unbelievable, Why, After 10 Years of Talking with Atheists, I'm Still a Christian. In this book, Justin reflects on 10 years of conversations with atheists, skeptics, and believers alike, and explains why he still finds Christianity the most compelling explanation for life, the universe, and everything in between. I know this book will strengthen your faith and equip you for meaningful conversations. And for a limited time, this book is our special thanks to you for your gift to Premier Insight. Your support ensures content like this and other shows and programs are available to bring faith-filled conversations to a world that needs them. So I encourage you to give today by going to premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/C.S. Lewis to receive your book today. Now on to today's show.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Lillian, your PhD focused on miracles and what C.S. Lewis says about miracles. Would you say just a little bit about that and why it was that you particularly were interested in the way that Lewis talks about miracles?
So what I learned from writing my master's thesis was that Lewis had a really interesting way of describing how miracles disturbed not nature as such, but he said in his essay Miracles that it disturbed how we perceive things. And I thought, where does this come from, this view of his, that nature maybe is not real like what it is, but it's how we perceive it. Why is that more important, how we perceive it, than what it is? That led me to inquiring more, that where does his like underlying views come from? Then I had this, I read an article called C.S. Lewis and Idealism. And there I got the idea that, hey, this could come from him being an idealist earlier. Idealist. I'm sorry, I say that wrong all the time.
That's okay.
So he was an idealist. He says in Surprised by Joy that he was an idealist, but nobody really knew what kind of idealist and what did it consist of, this philosophy. So that's where I wanted to go and see what kind of idealist had he been. So that was kind of the start of the PhD, where I tried to figure out what did he believe before he became a theist and a Christian. We can come back to that, but he was an absolute idealist, and then he was a pantheist before he became a theist and a Christian. So I tried to figure out what did these include, these beliefs.
Well, as you say, Lillian, we're going to dive into idealism and realism and what all of that means a little bit later. But just sticking with miracles, is there anything you think that has changed your own thinking about miracles, or perhaps in the conversations that you have with maybe some of your non-Christian friends? Is there anything that Lewis has said about miracles that you share or that you use in a particular conversation?
Yes, I remember when I was in a party with my brother and his friends, this young man whose mother was a minister, actually. So he didn't believe in miracles, and he didn't believe that Jesus had been born by a virgin. We had a long conversation. I had to go to the bathroom in between and just catch my breath. And then we continued. Like this idea from Lewis that what happens in nature is like according to the laws of nature, but everything that happens still has an agent. Like nothing happens if nobody wants it. So that the agents are really important. And he explains how God is just a supernatural agent, and that he can make things happen straight into nature. And then when they have happened, everything goes according to the laws of nature again. So just that he could have created this little sperm in Mary and made the thing happen. Like it's so little that is needed, and that God, because he is an agent, a supernatural agent, he can just make it happen, but then it will go according to nature. So we had this discussion, like how could the virgin birth be possible? Like, how can you understand it somehow? It's not unnatural. It's just supernatural. So this is a distinction Lewis makes in his book that I remember. I used this argument.
And so do you feel like there's anything you would say if someone said to you, there's no way I can possibly believe in miracles?
Well, I think you have to start by, like, miracles aren't possible to understand if you don't believe in God. So you have to start with God. But if you believe in God, then miracles can happen. But God is not the kind of, like, there are so many kinds of, weird miracles in folk stories, and that, like, you turn a child into a pig or whatever. That's not a miracle. That's unnatural. But then there are these, like, Lewis explains that miracles are somehow natural. Like they either point backwards to what God did in creation, or they point forward to what he's going to do in heaven. So he explains, for example, when Jesus walked on the water, that in the beginning, God made chaos, kind of they were chaos water, and he made something out of it. And in the end, there will be like this not still water, but it says something about a glass of sea of glass, sorry. And if the sea is of glass, then you can walk on it. So he just has this idea that you can, like all the miracles that Jesus did, you can understand them through what God has done before and what he's going to do, what the whole Bible story.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much, Lillian. Would you share a little bit about some of your involvement with IFES and the Veritas Forum?
So I have been working for IFES for most of my life. First as a student worker here in Helsinki, in the city, and then nowadays as the director of the Swedish work. We're trying to reach students at the universities for Jesus, and we have grown a bit over the years, so that's nice. We used to be in three cities, now we are in 5 cities, and I had the opportunity to take part in some of the meetings for the European General Secretaries, and Veritas Forum from the USA were there talking about their concept, and I thought, oh, we need this in Finland. So I contacted them afterwards, and we have had the concept working since 2012. And we arranged discussions, dialogues at the university campuses. And Alistair McGrath was also our guest last year, was it? He was talking about the meaning of life with a university professor, secular professor. So that was really good.
Brilliant. Lillian, do you feel like you are able to use any of Lewis's works or his methods to help you engage with some of these big questions, these contemporary issues in these university settings?
Well, I think one thing is that you should always treat your philosophical opponents with respect. That's an important principle for the Veritas Forum. And I think that's something Lewis also was good at doing. And then just his way of describing things with secular language, like the cube picture that talked to me long ago, and that you should use pictures and examples from everyday life. And that's also what Jesus did. Like he took examples from everyday life that everybody could understand.
Yeah.
So, but there are people who have written about Lewis' apologetical method. So you should look that up if you're interested. I'm just telling the viewers here. It's not my speciality, but these things I came to think of.
Yeah. And obviously, we're now over 60 years after C.S. Lewis has died. You're still reading him. You're still using his methods. You did your PhD on him. Why do you think he is still relevant 60 odd years after his death, Lillian?
Well, he writes about such a variety of issues. Like, I think you can find an answer to almost any question in life from him, if you read all of his books. And then he also said somewhere, like, he never tried to be trendy, but he said somewhere something like that, whatever is not eternal is eternally out of date. So you should not strive to be trendy, but strive to be eternal. And there's something in his views that make him trendy all the time. I don't know why, but that's just how it is. So it's just, I think he has a very personal tone. I feel like I almost know him when I have been reading his books. Like, he's just using himself also as a vessel when he's writing. That's very charming is maybe the wrong word, but
I think charming is quite a good word. I think charming is a good word.
Maybe we would be happy about it.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com.
What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @PremierUnbelievableFE, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @PremierUnbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.